Morning Wake Up here. Good to have you back with us on the program and, of course, online, 1320WILS.com. That's the internet page. We are live streaming there 24/7, 365. Great place to go if you cannot listen over the airwaves, 25,000 watts of power, and the podcasts are there under the media tab as well. A lot of ways to interact with the show. I'll follow us on Twitter. We may follow you right back. And we've been following, of course, very closely the back and forth in the 60-day window in the Congress over the Iran nuclear deal, the president's deal through the State Department, John Kerry, with the Islamic Republic. Well, our own senator here, junior senator from Michigan, Gary Peters, has not said how he's going to vote on this deal, has not said whether he's in favor or not. And in a way, it doesn't matter now. He is out of country. They won't say where he's going right now, but we can pretty much infer that he's on the anti-ISIS trip, which is going to the Emirates and other states in the Middle East, not necessarily tied to the Iran deal, but where they have very strong concerns about the nation of Iran. But in terms of a presidential override for the veto, which would be expected to come if Congress says no to the deal, it looks like he's got the necessary backing now, the president, to overcome an override to his veto. So it looks like a done deal. Political analyst, campaign director, Center for American Progress Action Fund, Emily Tisch Sussman, joining us now to discuss. Good morning, Emily.
Hi, good morning. So, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Senator Mikulski, Barbara Mikulski, Maryland Democrat, announced her support this week ahead of a speech by the Secretary of State. So that made it basically override proof. So is it a done deal, or is there still important, I guess, maneuvering to go on here as part of a cause for both sides?
With Senator Mikulski coming forth as the 34th senator, that really does solidify the fact that this deal will move forward. And I think part of the history of how we got here is a little bit important, because we don't generally think of 34 as being the magic number.
Right.
So for, you know, the U.S. for the past couple of months and years, along with other major world powers, have been negotiating with Iran. Sanctions were put in place years ago specifically to bring Iran to the table to negotiate. When they came to this deal, you know, because it is an executive power, is a prerogative of the executive, Congress does not actually have to say yes or no to the deal. It's the way our Constitution is set up. So what Congress has said is that we would like to be able to say no to the deal. So Congress has until September 17th to vote to kill the deal. At that point, the president has said that he would, any bill that came forward in front of his desk that kills the deal, he'll veto that. It then goes back to Congress to be able to override the veto. With the 34th vote, that means that Congress does not have the votes to override the president's veto. The president's veto and the agreement will stand. So that's where we are in this process right now. There's really not a lot of reason for movement. There's certainly not a lot of reason for movement away from those that support. They've looked through it, and I can tell you that members of Congress are taking this incredibly seriously and are reading the entire deal themselves. This is not like I didn't know what was in the bill. Like, they are absolutely reading it.
So this is not like the Affordable Care Act, which was huge.
Many dense bills.
Sure,
that fly through.
That was just one of them.
Really reading the bill and taking trips in country all over the Middle East. They are taking it incredibly seriously. But honestly, going into this recess period where members are generally home in August, there was an expectation that there would be very strong, they would hear very strongly against the deal. But that opposition has been pretty light. It's either just on TV, it's not really from real people, or the people that they have been speaking to are in the position of, oh, go back and get a better deal, but there's not really anything behind that.
You know, so why do you think that is?
Get a better deal?
So why? Why?
I think the response was pretty reactionary, and I think whereas foreign policy has been a place that we've been able to find common ground and come above partisanship, I think starting with the Senator Tom Cotton letter a couple months ago that all 47 Republican senators signed on to, saying that he would not support any kind of deal. People did back off from that, seeing it as too politically charged. But I think that, unfortunately, that did set the tone for making this a partisan political debate, which is unfortunate because we have traditionally been able to come above that in foreign policy spaces.
So now your group is supportive of this in general?
We are supportive of this deal.
Okay.
Yes.
What was the main tipping point for you? I'm certain that it's not just, well, the president wants it, so it must be okay. Why do you believe that this is important?
No, absolutely. And we do have experts both on Iran, foreign policy, and even nuclear work in our building. And they believe that this is the best deal that we could possibly get. That the, you know, people are talking about how it could be unfortunate that we'd be lifting the economic sanctions on Iran. But in fact, those sanctions were put in place to bring them to the table. It is believed that Iran was actually much closer to being able to creating nuclear material than people had previously believed before the beginning of the negotiations, maybe within 2 months, maybe even closer. But this deal does put enough safety checks in place. It always keeps at the center preventing Iran from creating a nuclear weapon. That is the goal of every piece of it. And this really does meet that test. You know, there is enough access, there is enough transparency, there are enough checks by outside inspectors. It does always keep it at the center and meets that goal.
The mullahs in Iran, those who are activists there, who are seen in the streets, death to America, they look at us as, you know, the great Satan, and that hasn't changed in recent weeks. But their rhetoric is different for Israel. Israel is not a, you know, co-signer with this deal. Mm-hmm. Do you expect them to push back verbally but to go along, or are all bets off the table when it comes now to Israeli response going forward?
Sure, it is hard to say. They have been vocal. The Israeli Prime Minister has been vocal against the deal. Hopefully they will come to see that with all major world powers coming together and supporting this deal, that it is something they'd like to be a part of. You know, it's not every day that you see agreements between China, Russia, U.S., but the feeling that this was so important, so hopefully they will come around. And at least if they don't want to sign on to it formally, act in accordance.
But they believe it's their very survival at stake, not only as a state, but as, you know, as the bastion of the Jewish people worldwide. They believe that very strongly. Would you be surprised if they acted in a military way here to protect their interests? Would that surprise you in any way?
Israel does have a long history of having a very strong military.
Certainly.
You know, that's how they've been able to hold the borders across the board. I think that if we're going to look long term, I think that right now they're probably in a position where they really want to, they've verbally been against the deal. They probably want to save a little face and stay on that line. I do hope that if they look long term, there could be a way to have a little bit more peace while still maintaining Israel as not only an independent state, but the home to Jewish people.
It does indeed look in the United States Senate. The president has the votes now aligned with him on this to avoid any potential override of a veto. It may still come in front of his desk. His veto pen could hit it, and that would stand. Emily Tisch Sussman is political analyst and campaign director at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Emily, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.
All right. We've heard a lot of folks who are against the deal. There's someone who is very passionately and forthrightly for the Iran nuke deal. We try to give you as many different perspectives on the show as we can. More coming up here. It is the Morning Wake Up, and it is 1320 WILS.